And as we look at the data, we now see that there's this huge discussion going on in the geological community between the lifers at the recent ESA conference in Europe, when they polled the scientists gathered for the Mars Express conference. I think it was a few months ago. 75% felt that there was evidence of current life on Mars. Now, this was up from 5% only 10 years previously, based on the accumulation of data, the methane, formaldehyde, where the methane follows the water and all that. And they're looking at a model which says there's little microbes underground generating these gases, and they're leaking to the surface and are detected by spectroscopes both on Earth and in spacecraft orbiting. So in only 10 years, you have this dramatic shift between, you know, the majority thinking that there was never anything on Mars, to where the majority now thinks not only could there have been, but they could still be there, meaning little beasties, little microbes. Now, the opposition, the non-lifers, have dragged out, you know, things like olivine and dry chemistry to try to refute the idea that there is some kind of living process. But this is a dynamic in the scientific community which is healthy, and ultimately it will fuel more missions, and we will resolve this, and we will have the answers probably, you know, maybe within the next couple of years, maybe toward the end of this year, when the Marsis radar goes into operation and we find out how much stuff is lurking underground. But certainly within the next 10 years, we're going to know. To come back to, you know, my central tenet, which is evidence trumps theory. We've got ruins on Mars. I will categorically stand by that statement tonight, that we have had 20 years now of peer-reviewed discussion, writing, publication, analysis, debate, controversy, political hijinks, NASA trying to hide pictures, put out weird pictures. And the bottom line is, for those who have looked at the data, you know, and the public polls of people who just looked at the pictures, there is overwhelming consensus that, yeah, there's somebody was once there. Now, the most interesting thing to me, and the reason we're all gathered around this, you know, national campfire tonight called Coast to Coast AM, is because when you look at the central object of the ruins, it is a humanoid face. Now, when I was a good Catholic, brought up, you know, listening to priests and going to school and taking rote by the sisters, you know, I learned that God said in his infinite wisdom that he would create man and woman in his image. And that's kind of stuck with me, and Mike, I know, is going to disagree with a literal interpretation, and his arguments are pretty cool, so I'm looking forward to his response. But the bottom line for me is that when you find a humanoid face, an image lying on a place where it does not belong, in a context of a set of ruins that do not belong, A, they were built by somebody, okay, and B, those somebodies probably had bodies. They probably had physical form. They probably lived in three dimensions. They were not angels. They were not demons. They were not, you know, extra-dimensional creatures. They were here in our own dimension on a nearby planet. And because of the humanoid nature of the face, I have been impelled to look and see whether there was a connection to us on this planet. And as you know, George, my preliminary conclusion is that ultimately we are the Martians. Somehow we are connected to whatever this extraordinary thing was that happened on Mars and then was blown away by some huge planetary catastrophe. And with that, I'll give the floor to someone else.
Okay, very good. Now, let's move on to you, Hugh. I want to get your thought. You fascinated me in October when you were on, 2003, and you're doing so now. Is there a difference between you and Hoagland? I mean, did you get along at the God Man and ET? And I mean, on an intellectual basis.
Well, I think we've got along on a personal level, but we certainly have our intellectual disagreements. I mean, you know, two of the design characteristics of the universe is that the universe must be extremely homogeneous and uniform for any kind of physical light to be possible, which is why I believe there are no surprises in astrophysics. The physics we see locally is going to be the physics we see at great distances. In fact, we astronomers can see all the way back to the creation event, and we don't see any special physics. We don't see any discontinuities. And the very fact that we're talking to one another over the phone lines by itself means there can't be any discontinuities or surprises in the universe.
But the dark energy was a tremendous, incredible, shocking surprise and still is.
I don't think so. I mean, it was something
They thought so.
It's something we've been anticipating ever since we had the measurements accurate enough to really discern the second-order effects in the expansion of the universe. As soon as we had that, we said there's something happening. I know astronomers were predicting dark energy as far back as the early 1990s. It is an amazing discovery, and the fact that it's so incredibly fine-tuned is certainly unexpected. And, we're using that as evidence for this supernatural design of the universe. In terms of the methane on Mars, I mean, you go to our reasons.org website, you'll see that there's been a number of papers published literally in just the past 6 weeks that demonstrate that methane is best explained as having a natural cause, not an organic cause, an inorganic cause. By the way, there is the possibility that some microbes could be transported to Mars in a viable state. It's not a high probability, but that probability does exist. As far as the humanoid face on Mars, I've worked with these JPL physicists and astronomers. I've worked with people who have actually seen the collection of photos. We have a JPL physicist that's on our Reasons to Believe staff, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there's no possibility that there's a conspiracy going on at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. You got 4,000 engineers and scientists there, and the working environment is such that it wouldn't be possible to cover up something of that nature. I would encourage your listeners to go to the JPL website and see this so-called face on Mars for themselves. It only looks like a face of low resolution. You look at the high-resolution photos, and you discover that the formation there is not nearly as impressive as the face that you see on the rocks in, say, New Hampshire, and another one that's in British Columbia that we all know is simply a natural thing that happens to look a little bit like a face. So, and again, there are more photos being taken. Let's put this to the test. We can test Richard's claims by doing more research on every day they're taking photographs of Mars. And we can tell.
Well, this is Dave again. It just brings to mind what's on the Earth. So if we get back to the idea that there was a pre-flood civilization, that if you come from the Christian theology, you have to believe because the flood wiped it out. And the flood wiped it out because of the intercession of these angels. And then that's from the mainstream Christian viewpoint of what it was that actually intersected with Earth at that point. And they created a actual hybrid being using humans. So they were beings, but they weren't exactly human, and they weren't exactly angel. They were something else. And every ancient civilization, hands down, if you can go back far enough, will say, these are the things that taught us how to be civilized, how to build, how to make cities. And the evidence is actually still intact. You can go find these places, these megalithic ruins, ruins where today we can't we can't explain how they were built. I mean, a really good example is Baalbek in Lebanon right now, which was formerly known as Sidonia,